This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, September 26, 2021, the 17th Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Are you jealous for my sake?
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Those words of Moses are directed to a very faithful man, Joshua. Joshua is a very faithful man, but he doesn't understand everything. We have to appreciate that being very faithful can actually lend us to a place where we might not understand the way God works with other people. I point out frequently that we, particularly as traditional people, have to be very, very conscious of something. And this isn't a homily. It's 101 stuff, really. But it's something we have to appreciate. And by appreciation, I mean that we have to understand that just because things might not conform to the way we think that they should, that they're not necessarily wrong. Now, with this being said, we've got to be very careful with our discernment and how we approach this, because to be zealous for the causes of Christ, to appreciate the structure that God presents and has established in His church is very, very important. It's of the absolute, it's of the utmost importance. But we have to understand that on occasion, He may do things that go beyond what our, let us say, our comfort zone. This particularly, traditional people have to worry about it, just be aware of it. As I said, Joshua is a very faithful man. This whole scenario with Moses from the first reading, let's step back a little bit. God calls His people out of Egypt. He blesses Moses with the Holy Spirit. Moses is the man. Moses is the one who is the leader of everything. He is the Pope of the day, so to speak. Moses is appreciated by the faithful. There are some people who are not particularly faithful toward Moses. Even his own family, for instance. For instance, there's an incident where Moses' own sister and his brother, they question, and they, for all intent and purposes, rebel against Moses. And it costs his sister being made a leper. God strikes her with leprosy because, she bucks the system, so to speak. It's another time when Korah and a whole lot of other people rebel against Moses. They use, kind of interesting, they use the same argument that Protestants use against Catholics. Everybody has the Holy Spirit. Everybody, we have the Holy Spirit too. Yes, you do, to a certain extent. And their rebellion costs them their lives, all right? So God is very, very specific in who He puts in charge. But as things pan out, as things progress, Moses starts to be dealing with a whole bunch of issues. So God says, okay, I'm going to raise up 70 people 70 men, and they're going to help you out, Moses. And the way the scripture reads is that God takes some of the Holy Spirit from Moses. That does not mean that Moses has any less Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a bottomless, fathomless font of graces. So when it says he removes some of the Spirit from Moses, it just means he disseminates some of the giftedness to other people to help Moses out. Well, the majority of people that God blesses with the Holy Spirit, they are, let's say, in conformity with the status quo. But there's a couple who are, and they prophesy outside the camp. Basically, they're not doing their own thing, but they're just not doing the normal stuff. Joshua, again, very faithful guy. Moses forbid them from doing that. Joshua's all bent out of shape because they're not with the program. Moses says, are you jealous for me? I wish that all would prophesy. I wish that the Holy Spirit was on everybody, just not the 70, because when the Holy Spirit's working through people, then everything is working fine. And the more people that the Holy Spirit is guiding and directing, the better off things are. So you know, he's happy to have some helpers now, but at the end of the day, kind of, he critiques Joshua on this, this confrontation that, you need to have them stop, doing what they're doing. No, because Moses, in his humility, he proves that he does not desire to monopolize the Holy Spirit. He does not want to be the one who's the only channel of the Holy Spirit. He's delighted to see other people blessed by the Holy Spirit and doing the Lord's work. This is a good thing. In the gospel today, same thing. Like I said, Josh was a very faithful. He's probably the most faithful guy. He's actually Moses' successor. This is how pious the man is and how blessed he is. So he's not off the reservation, so to speak. In the gospel today, same thing. The disciple whom Jesus loves, St. John the Divine, he comes to Jesus and says, teacher, we saw a man casting out demons in your name, and we forbade him because he doesn't walk with us. What do you mean by that? What is the deal with they don't walk with? He's not one of the 12. You called us. You called us. We're the ones that's supposed to be casting out demons and things like that. Jesus said, do not forbid him. For he that is not against us is for us. Just because you might not know that they're called, still he's doing my work. Obviously, you would think that John would think, okay, he's casting out demons in Jesus' name, and he's actually casting them out. So you would think that, okay, it's working. Because we have in Scripture, there are other people who try to cast out demons in Jesus' name, and it doesn't work. In Acts chapter 19, there is this one Siva. He's a Jew. He's not a Christian. He's a Jew, but he's trying to make some cash in being an exorcist. And he goes into this house where a demoniac is, and he said, I cast you out in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches. The demon looks at him and says, I know Jesus and I know Paul. I don't know you. And the demoniac falls on Siva and he left the house naked and sore wounded. He tries to cast out demons and it doesn't work. So we don't have a scenario where, hey, you claim Jesus' name and you're going to cast out demons. No, you have to live a life of faith. You have to be blessed by the Holy Spirit to do things like this. This is why our Lord says he's not against us, he's for us. Obviously, this Siva, he was not for our Lord Jesus Christ. Hence, there was no fruit born in what he did. So you've got two faithful people, Joshua and St. John. You got them critiquing people that are doing the Lord's work, obviously, but at the same time, they're not with the program that they consider. They have this myopic view of how things are supposed to work. We cannot do that. I started this out by saying, I'm always presenting to us, those of us who are, I don't think anybody can question the traditional credentials of this place, comparatively speaking, in the diocese, but we have to appreciate that there will be times when things will happen and people are blessed and there are things that happen and there are different approaches as to how people do certain things and what they like and what they don't. We should never get bent out of shape because they don't necessarily conform to what everybody else does, this, that, or the other thing. The Holy Spirit will do what he will. The Holy Spirit ensures that there are different parts of the body. This is actually what makes things healthy. Our Lord wants to ensure that for individuals and for his community, the people of God, that the Holy Spirit works in the way that is conducive to the individual and the community as a whole. From James, I know you all pay attention all the time. If you read that, if you read James, the second reading day, it almost seems like if you're rich, you're going to hell. I mean, really, just prepare yourself not to go to heaven if you're rich. There are, I know many, very wealthy people who use their wealth in a phenomenal way for the advance of the kingdom. God knows them. God knows that they are responsible and that they are faithful. Hence, he blesses them. And he keeps blessing them financially. He keeps blessing them financially, and they continue to support his church. This is a good thing. So when you read James, hey, if you're wealthy, you might as well, you're a write-off spiritually. No, you're not. The Holy Spirit deals with different people in different ways. There are some people who can deal with a lot of money and some people who can't. Driving down I-4 the other day, Powerball, $490 million. There are countries that don't have budgets like that. Most of us would not be able to, let us say, live a life of faith if we got $490 million dumped on us. Why? Because it is a tremendous source of temptation for most people. The Holy Spirit knows to whom he can bless and those whom he cannot. Like I said, many people have a lot of money and they use it wisely. There are other people who the Holy Spirit, you know, our Lord looks at, you know, the rich man, you know, sell all that you have and follow me. Why does he say that to that guy? Because he knows how much he loves money. So it is that individual that may choose to give up everything and serve the Lord. When the Holy Spirit guides and directs a person like that, whether you have a lot of money or you want to give everything up, it can be an example to others on both in both realms. You have a lot of money, you're an example to people if you use it wisely. If you give up everything that you have and you follow the Lord, that too, an example to other people. It can be the betterment for that individual's soul. That individual who gives up everything, it might be for his benefit. We don't know how the Holy Spirit works in whatever realm that we're talking about, whatever context it may be. And this is where kind of stepping back and say, you know, a traditional parish. This parish, it's kind of interesting to know, but I don't know if most of you know this, there are at least 20 to 25 members of this parish, families and individuals, who consider themselves charismatics. What? Here? Charismatics and incarnation? Yep. Initially, when folks like that started showing up, my eyebrows pegged. Why did it, you know, what's the attraction here for it? And then it was like a note. It's like, you know, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. Every now and then the Holy Spirit kind of busts me in it. Because the Holy Spirit's here, and that's what the charismatics, you know, that's what they're all about. Because most of us say, okay, they're charismatic. You know, what does charismatic mean? Well, we're praying. That's charismatic. No, it's not. No, it's not. Charismatic is, I mean, it can be what you might, you know, certain, you know, private prayer groups or private prayer as individuals, things like that. It's all well and good. And I'm going to point fingers at myself. I always like using myself as an example. What word should I use? I am very discerning when it comes to that whole thing. You know, I do not, that's not, it's one of the things that the Holy Spirit obviously has kind of placed on my heart, a lot of that stuff. And I have had a lot of debates with a lot of those folks in my office about, you know, the old, hey, I went to this, you know, this conference and we saw that, like, okay, you know, I give a deep sigh and, you know, I try to explain away why that might not be such a good thing. But at the end of the day, if it is not against us, it's for us. I can't really step back and look at anything and say, that's bad for you. There was a day and a time when I was, you know, we're always growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, right? There was a day and time when I would have told people, no, you need to stay away from that stuff. That's bad for you and everything like that. I don't know if it is or not. I don't want to be like Joshua or John and say, forbid them for doing that. Yeah? By their fruit, you will know them. This is why we judge things like that, because the vast majority of those folks who identify that are some of the most faithful and supportive members of this congregation. And by their fruits, you will know them. It's kind of interesting that 4 years ago, 3 years ago, there were like five, six of, and now there's, as I said, 20, 25 folks that like it. So obviously there's some kind of fruit that's born there. They have been a benefit to this parish. And like I said, most people don't even know where they're around. But, you know, all this being said, if you, in conversation with some of these folks here, that, you know, hey, we're not going to be at Mass this week because we're going to be at the Charismatic Conference. Don't like flip out like I did in the past. So, you know, like I said, this isn't anything dramatic or profound. It is just an appreciation of understanding how the Holy Spirit works as He will. This is what we need to appreciate. These, you know, the gifts that we might not understand as to how or why the Holy Spirit works with particular individuals, just let them work. You know, this, because historically, when you look at it, there, if you look at church history, there are things that would happen. The apostles, they all spoke tongues. St. Paul spoke tongues. Would you ever like to, hey, there's this guy, Paul. He's in here. He's speaking tongues all the time. We don't need him around here. It's St. Paul. Some of our favorites, St. Catherine of Siena. Gotta love St. Catherine of Siena, man. Read her stuff. She's awesome. There's a description of St. Catherine of Siena in one of her raptures one time, and it said, I quote, she was raised in the air and rapt out of her senses. I hazard to guess that there's not a whole lot of people be hanging around if somebody was like raised in the air and rapt out of their senses. The Holy Spirit does what he does on occasion, certain individuals, and we just got, as long as it's not detrimental or sinful or disruptive, then you get into a whole different realm. But just because some things might not be in conformity with the way other people do things, you don't want to go there and be at best critical of it, and at worst forbid them for doing that. And again, we've got to really be paying attention to that as traditional people. I mean, you look at the Latin Mass stuff. I love the Latin Mass. I'm a Latin Mass guy. Love it to death. If I had my way, but guess what? There are a lot of Latin Mass people that I've talked to, brother priests. If it's not the Latin Mass, it's just not the Mass. Is it? Okay. You're negating all, like the Maronites, you're negating the Byzantines, you know, they don't use Latin. They never use a Latin Mass. Latin is an important thing and all this, but it's not the end all be all. Latin Mass people shouldn't criticize, their Mass looks a lot like the Latin Mass, but it's in English. Just like I was saying about the fruits that are born from things, there's a lot of fruit to be born from a Mass that looks a lot like the Latin Mass, but where people can understand. Because we don't live in a time where a lot of people really appreciate the Latin Mass anymore. They don't understand why there's the silence. They don't understand that kind of stuff. And you don't look at those people and say, they just don't get it. No. The Holy Spirit will work as he does on different occasions. So, you know, this is what is the bottom line on this whole thing. Is we need to use our discernment and our humility when it comes to people that might not do exactly what we might think is in conformity with normalcy. Moses was humble about it. Our Lord told his apostle to be humble about it. Forbid them not. I think probably the prime example of that is the Blessed Virgin Mary. I don't think that the Holy Spirit has ever worked in anybody. I know that the Holy Spirit's never worked in anybody as he has in the Blessed Virgin Mary. And guess what? She and her humility, she didn't get all to everything. How many times will we read? And she pondered these things in her heart because she didn't understand them. We're not going to understand everything on this side of the veil. We're not going to understand it. That we have to appreciate that the Holy Spirit works as he wills. And as long as they're not against us, then they're for us. And we should just let the Holy Spirit do what he's going to do. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.